The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We've kicked things off with a big game in the Champions League. Bayern Munich taking on a Barcelona. Fun match this, especially, I suppose, if you're a Bayern fan, as they would take all 3 points with a 2-0 victory. It was two goals in a matter of 4 minutes that really changed the course of this game. Barcelona had plenty of chances in the first half, but Hernandez and Sané scoring early in the second half would kind of define the result of this game. Bayern then 100% so far in their Champions League group. And once again, you take a look at the record between their two sides. 7 games, all competitions. 5 defeats now for Barca and 2 draws. Well, for more on this game, let's welcome in, shall we? Don Hutchinson is with us, as is Ali Moreno. Craig, this was a good match. Fun match.
Well, Bayern started well the first 5 minutes. You told me I was late in.
Yes, yeah, no, they did.
You blame me, because as soon as I come in... Look, Barcelona in the first half in particular played after the initial onslaught from Bayern. Barcelona got a grip of the game and played some really good stuff. Now, we knew this was going to be the acid test this early in the season. The best, the biggest team they've played on the biggest stage. And in terms of their football, they actually handled it pretty well the way they played. We can talk about the defending in the second half from the set piece and the open play goal from Sané in the position of Araujo and Christensen. But the bottom line is this game pretty much come down to Robert Lewandowski fluffing his lines.
Yeah.
I mean, the main man going back to his old club, getting some great service. Neuer made a great save from Pedri, but Lewandowski could have had this game 2-3 at half time, and Xavi could have sat down, they could have said, keep it tight, you know, let's control the game. But it didn't happen because he fluffed his lines. We don't say that often.
No.
But that's what happened in this game. And then Bayern came out after half time, bang, bang, a couple of goals. And then we're able to weather the little bits and pieces that Barcelona threw at them. So good football from Barca at times, but a bad result.
It's no exaggeration, though, is it, Ali? You look at Lewandowski, and he scores those goals in his sleep normally.
An average night for Robert Lewandowski today would have meant 2-0 at halftime. That's an average night. A great night for Lewandowski would have meant probably 4-0 for Barcelona at halftime. The chances were there. And if you're Barcelona, and if you're Xavi, and a Barcelona fan, and you're sitting at home and you're thinking, who do we want these chances to fall to? Robert Lewandowski. Well, they did. And there were times in which his first touches popped up on him, it was just behind him, he seemed like he was a little rushed. It wasn't the cleanest game from Robert Lewandowski, certainly not in front of goal. And now you allow Bayern Munich to hang around in the game. And this, in the first half, surprisingly, from Barcelona's perspective, became a transition game, which usually we do not equate that with Barcelona. But because Jamal Musiala was dropping underneath and was right on the shoulder of Sergio Busquets, and there was no outlet for Barcelona through Busquets, they bypass that, they go in transition, and now look at Barcelona with speed, finding spaces and getting open and finding runs ahead of the ball, and now it falls again to Robert Lewandowski. Again, an average night is 2-0 at halftime. It would have been a different game. Of course it would have. Bayern Munich don't care. Barcelona, I think, would be discouraged by the final result, but encouraged about how they play certainly the first 45 minutes of the match.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it, Donna? How much do you read into the result here, considering what happened, particularly in that first half?
It was actually quite a simple game to analyse, Dan. I thought Barca for 45 minutes, I thought they were sensational. I thought Gavi and Pedri in the middle of the park controlled the game in a difficult atmosphere away from home in the Allianz. I thought they were good. I thought Rafinha looked sharp. I thought Dembele produced some incredible moments. He looked really good as well, back to his best. The guys are right. I mean, when Lewandowski puts his head on the pillow tonight, especially the volley, because the volley for a pro is actually quite simple. Whether he was just a bit anxious, whether he was desperate to score against his old club and he snatched at it slightly, I'm not sure, because he's only inches over or centimetres over the crossbar. And then credit Julian Nagelsmann, you know, because he's been under pressure. He's had three draws on the spin in the Bundesliga, and he took Sabitzer off half-time. He brought Goretzka on, added a bit of muscle, added bite in that midfield. And then, again, two goals inside 3 minutes, took the game completely away from Barca. But I thought Bayern looked really, really good. It's like when they got those two goals down, especially the first one, it gave them that shot of confidence. Then they got the second inside 2 or 3 minutes. Then all of a sudden, every one of the Bayern players wanted the ball. They didn't want it in the first 45. They were struggling. Second half was an onslaught in the second half. It was Bayern very much so back to their best. But I think Xavi would analyse that and say, well, on another night, we're going at half-time 2-0 and cruising.
But that's, you know, that's... I mean, I'm sure that's the message he's given the players, but it's a bit of a moot point because I said to you over the last couple of weeks and couple of days, I don't need to know Barcelona can play good football. It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that Pedri and Xavi and Busquets at times will pass it around, and it's not a surprise that the armoury of Rafinha and Dembele in great form with Lewandowski, who had his off night. I don't need to know that. I don't think that's the big question here. They will score goals. They will score against most teams. The big question is, under pressure against better teams than Cadiz and Vallecano and Sevilla, can they keep it out at the other end? And yeah, one was a set piece, but it was poor marking. I think it was Alonso that lost Hernandez. And then the gap that appeared between the two centre-halves for the Sané goal was shocking. It was absolutely shocking. And let's not forget, their Achilles heel is going to be their defence, Barcelona, that is. And here we have a side without the main striker in Lewandowski, who's gone to them, without a natural striker, who are reportedly still hunting around for a Harry Kane, still see that position as a problem, and yet we're still able to weather the storm and win 2-0. That's the big question mark for Xavi. Not can Robert Lewandowski do it, because we know he can. That was an off night. Not will he get a supply chain, because he will. The big question at this level is that other end of the field, that back four. And I'm afraid just after half-time today, it was left wanting.
Take us through that second goal, Ali. Where did it go wrong for Barca?
Well, it starts in the position taken by the two centre backs, and as Leroy Sané, who started the sequence down the right-hand side, and he starts running through the middle of that back line, now you have both Ronald Araujo and Christensen out of position. But then you don't have a natural right back in Jules Koundé, a natural right back as he would have seen his center back get out of position. Then you tuck in. Koundé somehow feels like, well, maybe I stay wide out here because I'm picking up the guy on the left-hand side. Well, never mind that, Jules Koundé. You play center back. If your guy is out of position, you got to come and cover the middle, and then you worry about the guy on the outside if the ball gets laid off to him. To me, it was so many mistakes in the same play, but it's a free run from Leroy Sané, a change of pace, and it exposes an area that Barcelona has had issues with for years. Not just tonight, but for years, and that is athleticism through the middle of the field. Athleticism through Busquets. Athleticism through the center back position. That is why Gerard Piqué is not on the field. Because if we go back in Champions League play, remember Piqué trying to chase down Kylian Mbappe. How did that work out? Well, he didn't. And those are images that stay with Barcelona fans. And they say, okay, well, we're going to bring a little bit more athleticism having Ronald Araujo and Christensen. Well, yes, you have more athleticism, but you have guys who get themselves out of position very easily. And Jules Koundé, who's not a natural right back, not talking inside. And now you have Leroy Sané walking to goal.
Having said all of that, it was still a great goal by Sané, Don.
It was a brilliant goal. Do you know what I liked the best, Dan? I liked the little ball from Musiala. When you see it again, it looks like a routine five-yard pass, but he got it on the half turn. He recognised where Leroy Sané wanted the ball to be played, and that was in his stride. It was a 5-6 yard pass, but the weight of it, the pass appreciation, was perfect. He put it into Sané. Once Sané gets into top speed, there's no one going to catch him. And listen, I think their Achilles heel, Barca when I watch them, Dan, is when I look at the individuals that play at the back. I mean, every single Chelsea fan will tell you that Marcus Alonso can't play as an orthodox left back. He's a wing back. Andreas Christensen the same. He can't play in a flat back four. Then Eric Garcia comes on at the end. You know, these are not skilled defenders. They're good players, but they're not top-end defenders in the system in a flat back four. And I think if Xavi keeps playing Christensen and especially Marcus Alonso in a four, I can see, like Craig said, I see the top-end team scoring plenty goals against them, because that's not the position or the system those two guys especially play their best football in.
What was interesting, I thought, in the second half was the choice by Xavi, Ali, to bring on Ferran Torres ahead of Ansu Fati, who I've been really impressed with so far this season. And then he comes on with just 10 minutes to go and it's difficult for him to make any sort of impact.
You don't like Ferran Torres, do you, Dan?
I just bring up the point.
Yes, it would have made sense to have brought on Ansu Fati. And given the player that you're taking off, in that case was Rafinha, Ansu Fati gives you a similar profile. Ferran Torres is a different player because he's going to sort of tuck inside and be a second striker alongside Robert Lewandowski. So when we talked about the potential starting 11 at the beginning of the season, I was thinking, okay, if you're going to play Dembele down the right and then you're going to play Ferran Torres down the left, it's because he's going to accompany Robert Lewandowski through the middle and gives you, again, a second presence at the back post. But given what we have seen early on in the season from Ansu Fati, you would think that he would be the first off the bench on those outside positions. It hasn't been the case. I still think there is an element of trust that is not quite there from Xavi and Ansu Fati. I think Ansu Fati is going to be the answer long term, but in the meantime, it seems like Xavi prefers the option of having Ferran Torres combining with Lewandowski inside the 18-yard box.
Where do we go from here?
Well, I think there are some... While there was a lot of smiles from Nagelsmann at the victory, and of course, I think there will also be some concerns about his defence as well.
Right,
but I think, again, we knew that. It's not something that's just popped up tonight. You go, oh, they've got one or two problems at the back. There's been a lot of changes in that back line, not just over the last week or two, but certainly over the last year or two as well. So yeah, he's got some questions as well, and I suppose not having a natural striker, as they don't, and they've coped not too bad. People say, well, they've drawn three games in the Bundesliga. Yeah, but they left some players out, certainly at the weekend, mm-hmm. for this game, with this game in mind. But yeah, it is what it's painted to be. This group is going to be an excellent group, with Inter in there as well. Obviously Pilsen are going to be whipping boys. But one of these big boys is going to drop. And there's no guarantee that just because Barcelona have spent this money, that they're going to get through this group. And I think Xavi knows that. And I think that's why it was so important to try and go away and get something in the Allianz to take back. And they didn't. Yeah, he'll paint it about the chances and the way they played, fine. But they're going to have to get some results away from home in this group that is going to be very, very tight, particularly when they travel to Italy to play Inter.
Yes, that's going to be a key game. Yes. Obviously, Bayern have already done that, already taken 3 points. Inter, of course, are in action today as well against Vitoria Pilsen. And as you would expect, Inter did get the victory, did get their first points of the group stages with a 2-0 victory there. Job done for them here, Don, yeah?
Yeah, played well. They got the goal. Dzeko scored a really good goal, which... you know, made them settle a little bit, and then they weren't vintage Inter, but it took Pilsen. Once they went down to 10 men, there was only one winner. Then Inter went through the gears. They kept hold of the ball. Dumfries scored a good goal. It was one of them games down where you just put it down as 3 points. You gain confidence from it, and you just say a very, very professional performance from Inter.
Especially given what happened in week one, this was just all about getting the points, Ali.
Yes, it was. But I have to tell you, in watching Inter play today, and then right after that, watching Bayern Munich and Barcelona play, it's two different levels. And while we think that it is going to come down to Inter and potentially Barcelona, given that Barcelona has to go to Italy first in the next Champions League date, I still think that there is a difference in quality between what we saw from Bayern Munich and Barcelona and what Inter has been able to feature so far. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't play well at home against Barcelona. And imagine the pressure that would be on Barcelona if indeed they were not able to get a result against Inter away from home. Now, all that perception, all that discussion, all that analysis about what the financial implications would be if Barcelona were bounced out of Champions League would come to the table. So there's going to be pressure on Barcelona. But in terms of level of play, I think Inter was far below what we saw from both Bayern Munich and Barcelona today.
Ali, as always, thank you very much. Let's just remind you how Group C stands after the two games that we've seen. Bayern 100%, Barca and Inter both on 3 points apiece. Victoria Pilsen, as expected, I suppose, yet to register a single point. Well, Bayern Munich's Bundesliga campaign continues, of course, on Saturday. They're away against Augsburg. All of the games will be live for you on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
What a game it was at Anfield. Liverpool beating Ajax by 2-1. Liverpool then registering their first win of this Champions League campaign. But again, like most Liverpool games, it was dramatic. It was a late winner in the end from Matip in the 89th minute that gave them all 3 points. Stevie Nicol joins us now. Stevie, how was that experience for you?
Well, now that I've had time to digest it and think about the actual first minute to the last minute, then there was a lot of things that Liverpool got right that they completely made a mess of against Napoli. So it's a win. They dominated the game. 24 shots, ain't bad. So a lot of positives, but it should have been made easier. Listen, if Daley Blint scores with a header at 1-1, my goodness, that could upset the apple cart. But then, as I said, Liverpool, I think, deserved to win it. Still looked a little uncomfortable when Ajax were on the break, because that's pretty much what Ajax were doing. But in terms of controlling the game, I thought they did that. They got themselves in the box enough times. As I said, 24 shots. Goalkeeper made some saves. Had the finishes been better, then, you know, the size of the victory would have been comfortable. But at the end of the day, it's a win. It was a solid 90 minutes, and you saw Klopp at the end. You know, he had his hand on his heart with the crowd and kind of saying, right, we're glad to get this one out of the way. So right now, everybody's happy.
Step in the right direction.
Any sort of thing that wasn't a debacle and was so out with the norm for them of recent years was a victory. They just had to get the ball rolling, didn't they? I mean, nothing's coming as easy as it was for them. Not that anything came easy, but things were just like clockwork for them. Their performances, their work rate, the team selection, but everything just seemed to be to be difficult for them. Even when they're controlling a game, they still look vulnerable. But that's kind of where they are at the moment. The one, you look at the stats, they were dominant.
Yeah.
But they were always vulnerable to that counter-attack. And Stevie mentioned the Daily Blind header that scraped by the post. That's kind of where they are at the moment. The one thing I would say, and it's a question I don't know only Klopp could answer, was you're kind of waiting them given... getting Nunez up to speed. I know he came off the bench, I know Jota played, Jota's also been injured, but I kind of felt that feel that he needs to get him as his main striker, the big signing.
Yeah.
You've got Erling Haaland, who's hit the ground running at Manchester City, their big domestic rivals, and you've got a front three this year that's been a little bit dishevelled, or a lot dishevelled, and you just feel the more game time they can get him and get him up to speed, the better. And that's why I was thinking, particularly at home against Ajax, yes, it's the Champions League, I know that, but get him in, try and get him up and running and build his confidence up. That would be the one thing. I'm sure we'll see it soon, but I think sooner rather than later for me.
Are you surprised he didn't start, Stevie?
Absolutely. I when I saw the team, I was the first thing I did was check the subs to see if Nunez had picked up an injury. I'm like Craig. You got to get the guy in, get him playing, get him minutes on the field, and get him in tune with everybody. And until you do that, you won't get the best out of him. And as we all know, he's not the finished article. He's still very raw. But I think what he brings is completely different to what you get from Jota and what you get from Firmino. I think he gives you the two things that they can do. Firmino's really about possession. I think if you can get him holding the ball up and starting to play with Diaz and Salah, that Firmino does, I think he can do that. He just needs to get better at it. And he can score goals. Because that's pretty much what Jota's there for. He's that little guy in the penalty box that's supposed to pop up and put the ball in the net. Because I don't really think he's particularly great when it comes to link-up play or holding the ball up. So you get him on the field and get him in tune with everybody. If I'm a defender, I do not want to play against him. I'd rather play against Jota or Firmino than play against him. Absolutely every day of the week. So I'm with Craig big time. This guy's not going to get better unless he gets minutes on the field. And I don't think the other two are particularly brilliant. So get him on.
Meanwhile, Salah, of course, has struggled so far this season compared to the high standards that he's set over recent years, Stevie. Took his goal well.
He did take his goal well, eventually, because his first touch was horrible. His first touch went far too much inside towards the defender, but his reaction and his finish was great. He's just having a hard time right now. Sometimes when you're playing, everything is really hard work. We're talking about how everything Liverpool's doing right now seems to be hard work. Well, there's nobody having a harder time than him. Even when he's flying, sometimes his touch can be a little off, but everything just seems to be bobbling for him, or his touch takes him too close to a defender, or it goes out of play. Everything seems to be really hard work for him. But I'll tell you what, as much as everything seems to be hard work, he's working hard, because he came back in the second half and saved Liverpool from possibly losing a goal. He made a run all the way back into defence, into his own penalty box, and made a challenge that stopped Ajax from possibly scoring. So, listen, you can't fault his attitude, but right now, as I said, it's hard work for him, but he got his goal.
Kudus, of course, got the equaliser. The man that Mario told us about yesterday to keep an eye on took it brilliantly. The build-up to the goal, though, it was interesting. You were talking when we were watching the game together. Just the lack of marking from Trent Alexander-Arnold. How would you describe?
It's a little bit of communication. I know he's been the focus, as we see the stats here.
He took it brilliantly. It was a great goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a good goal. And they were always a threat, even though they were never dominant within the game. But yeah, Trent Alexander-Arnold has been the focus of a lot of attention. He's not been alone, but he's kind of been one of the main, particularly after his performance in Naples. But it was just small things when the goal comes about, because he steps in a little bit. He doesn't bother tracking. He doesn't even see the runner behind him. It wasn't a huge mistake, but it was still, it made Matip then had to come over the whole thing, and they didn't get themselves across. And lo and behold, Virgil van Dijk had a 2-on-1. In the box, so it wasn't the horror show of Naples, but it was just these little things that I think maybe we're just going to pick up on every now and again. But one of the other interesting things for me, and I know we talked about this, was there was an interview after the game by our friends at BT Sport with Virgil van, and you asked, and I think Stevie and myself and you talked about this the other week, it might have been, how it always seemed that Andy Robertson was kind of thrown out there for after-match interviews.
Yeah, so he wasn't there, and it's interesting, because Van Dijk was asked about the criticism after the Napoli game, and he said, ex-pros should know better.
Yeah, and the other week when you said, oh, it seems Andy Robertson's thrown out generally quite a lot, and maybe that's a PR decision, and he seems to talk quite well. And sort of brush anything off and speak normally. And I'm not suggesting Van Dijk didn't. But off the back of this, it would seem, well, not just this game alone, but off the back of this thrashing in Naples, clearly there was a lot of criticism for Alexander-Arnold in the back four, including Virgil van Dijk. And as you said, he started carping on, that word again,
carping.
About ex-players and how they've forgotten and blah, blah, blah. And it seems to me, here's a guy that has had enough praise to get him to the moon and back, and rightly so, because for the most part he's been brilliant. But yet at this period when he himself has not been great and he hasn't marshalled the back four very well, but it's not always been his fault, seems to be smarting a little bit from the criticism. And I thought that was quite an interesting interview. Not that there was a lot of words spoken, but it was just his reaction. I mean, Des Kelly at BT didn't even ask him about the criticism. There was no question about it. He just brought it up. So clearly it's in his mind that he also said, well, you know, we don't listen to what they say, take notice of what they say outside these walls. Well, clearly he does. And it was just interesting to me that there's a guy who has basically had all the platitudes in the world, and Liverpool have hit a rocky road of which he's been part of, and clearly he's been smarting a little bit from that criticism. There's no doubt about that.
Does that help or hinder going forward, Stevie?
The problem, when you're playing, you don't understand what goes on in the media. Basically, in shows like ours, you don't understand it. And if anybody, whether it's in the newspaper or on the TV or anything, criticises you, you don't like it. Of course you're prickly. You know, it's not easy to, in the cold light of day, you know, what Craig said is right about, he said all the plaudits, but it's difficult in the cold light of day, when you're playing, to go, well, I've had a lot of plaudits, so I should be able to take the criticism. That's just not how you're wired. If somebody criticises you, you want to get them back and you want to show them every single time. So I guess in some ways that might help Virgil van Dijk, because clearly it got up his nose. And you know what? If that makes him go back to being the Virgil van Dijk that we praised, then that's fine by me. But at the end of the day, if you don't play well, you just got to make sure you play well, because people like us are going to talk about you, whether it's good or whether it's bad.
And the other side of that coin, Stevie, that back line's been pretty disjointed this year in particular. I know Robertson was out.
Horrendous. But it's been
do
awful.
You think he's, right, do you
They've
think
been
he's
lucky,
going to
by the way. They could have, I'll tell you what, I would love to have heard Klopp in the dressing room, because the things we are saying, I think, compared to what Klopp should have been saying to them in the dressing room, the things we are saying are nice. Because you know what it's like in a dressing room when you play that badly and the whole back line is as bad. I'll tell you what, he better have given them a rocket, and I'm sure he did. So anything we say is small change to what Klopp's going to say to them.
Do you think he needs to get Matip in there again long term with Van Dijk and say, listen, we've got to start building this back four again, get back to what we're doing, stop all... I know they've had injuries, but just that looks to me, you know, that... For a long period now, it's been Matip and Van Dijk as the preferred two.
100%. I would 100%. Everything then being equal, being fit. But that's the problem. Matip, I mean, how many times has Matip played two or three games in a trot over the last two or three seasons? I bet you there's not many. And so that is a problem. I agree 100%. Matip and Van Dijk is the best partnership that they have. But Matip can't play. No, not regularly, two or three games in the trot. You just can't do it physically.
So let's take a look at what that victory means for the group. Obviously, first points for Liverpool, first drop points for Ajax. And Napoli have the opportunity to go 3 points clear. They will take on that delayed game against Rangers on Wednesday. Don's back, Stevie as well. Craig, obviously, with us to answer your questions on Extra Time. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Quite the result in Group D. Sporting take on Spurs. This looked like it was just going to be 0-0, done and dusted. Okay, move on to the next one. But two late goals for Sporting. Paulinho and then Arthur would see them take all 3 points, maintaining their perfect start to the Champions League this season. Stevie, how did this happen?
Listen, if you watched the game, it wasn't a huge surprise. Probably, I think a draw would have been the correct result. You know, they basically did to Spurs what Spurs generally do in the Premier League, and that is just break on teams, get a decent line, and then use their quality going forward. And Porto have got some pace going forward. They probably lacked in the final third, as did Spurs. You know, Spurs had some opportunities, but on most occasions didn't even make the goalkeeper work, whereas Lloris made a couple of great saves. So for me, the 90th minute, I was like, you know what, this is a fair draw. But then
right,
the corner comes in, Paulinho with a nice flick header, and then they get the one late on, makes it 2-0. But Spurs are a little unfortunate, but they basically got caught doing what they do most times to the other sides, and they can't complain. They probably will look at the chances they had, but the truth is, it was pretty much their own fault that they've lost this game.
At least Conte can't complain about teams boring them to death.
Yep.
Doing the opposite. I think some of the stories from this game, one, Hung Min Son was poor again. Just didn't play very well and he's out of form. And I think, you know, he desperately needs him to be... But I know it's better than last year because he has replacements. Mm-hmm. Kulusevski on the bench, he can play. Him and Richarlison can play behind Kane. Lucas Moura can play. They have options. But none of those options are up to the standard of an on-form Heung-Min Son. So that's a big story for them. The other one was Richarlison looked like he got another goal in the Champions League for them, but he was a smidge offside in the first half. And then Perisic put the most brilliant ball across in the second half, straight across the six-yard box after a little step over. And Harry Kane was a whisker away from putting it in at the back post. As Stevie said, watching this game, it just looked like it was going to be 0-0, a point each, let's get on the plane and back to London. But they got suckered at the end. But
you look at the group, are they going to be okay?
I think it's going to be tight for them. If you look at their game against Marseille, which they won after Marseille went down to 10 men, it was a struggle for them for long periods in that game. So I don't think it's a given that they're going to get out of this group. I think that all the teams in this group, I think it's very evenly matched, if I'm being honest with you.
What do you think, Stevie?
Yeah, when I saw the draw, I thought Spurs would be comfortable, but now that now that we've seen how Spurs play, and I don't think they're going to change an awful lot between now and the end of the season. I think they're pretty much what they are. They're going to be hard to beat, and they can do you on the break. That's what they are. So if they can't finish, then yeah, it's a possibility that they might not get out of this group. The other teams have shown that going forward they can upset them, and so certainly from when I saw the draw to now, they're certainly not a shoo-in. I thought they were a shoo-in. I don't see them as a shoo-in now. I think all the other sides, I'll be looking at them and going, well, you know what? If they thought they were a shoo-in before a ball was kicked, they now know that they can either play Tottenham home or away and get something. Pretty sure
tell
of that.
What, I tell you, as a rule of thumb, and that's why this result's a bit of a surprise, as a rule of thumb, the way that he sets up his team and his personnel should be, against this standard of opposition, it's not Barcelona, Bayern, Man City, etc. They're kind of set up to go away from home and scratch a win or a point here or there, which could see them through this group, because they do generally play a defensive game. They are quite a difficult side to break down, and they're generally very good in the counter-attack. Unfortunately for them, the other team wanted to play the same game at home. So
he's got to get through the group, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Well, you look at his record in the Champions League,
he's not going to get sacked for not getting through the group, because the bigger picture for him, for them, is the Premier League top four and closing that gap and continually building. However, when you are backed in the transfer market and when you have that squad, they are expected to get out of the group. But as I said, they weren't brilliant at home against Marseille. Eintracht Frankfurt are Europa League champions and they're a decent side. And we've seen Sporting... haven't got the quality of Spurs, but they were able to hang in. Expecting them to get out of the group, but as Stevie said, it's not quite as cut and dried as it looked when the draw was made.
Meanwhile, another tight group that is taking shape as well. Let's take a look at Group B, shall we? With Bayer Leverkusen beating Atletico Madrid by 2-0. Meanwhile, Bruges beat Porto 4-0. They are the surprise leaders at the top of the group. They are perfect. It's going to be all to play for, isn't it, within that group. It's going to be interesting to see. But a good day overall for the Bundesliga ahead of La Liga, with both Bayern and Leverkusen both winning. La Liga, of course, returns this weekend on ESPN Plus, and it's all about that late game on Sunday, Atletico against Real Madrid. That game coverage starts 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll take a look at Wednesday's matches. Of course, a full programme of games, including as well Rangers against Napoli. Let's just take a look at how some of the groups stand going into these ties. Starting off with Group E, obviously Chelsea looking for their first win the campaign after that defeat that saw Thomas Tuchel sacked against Dinamo Zagreb. We heard, of course, didn't we, from Graham Potter for the first time as he addressed the press. I think that you have to understand that they're human beings first, and the key thing is to try to understand them, understand what motivates them, and understand what they're like as people, and then from that try to come to common ground, try to build relationships, to try to communicate effectively on a daily basis and build respect, trust and honesty. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Is that what Thomas Tuchel didn't do?
Well, it goes back to my old manager, late Jim Smith, who talking about, in that statement, he mentioned what motivates him. And you know this story, when he goes to a new club. At the time, Jim, when he was managing, he said, I go around the dressing room to all these multi-millionaire, well-paid players. I find out what ones need motivated, and then I get rid of them.
Right.
Because you shouldn't need to go around motivating them. Yeah, he needs to understand the personalities. But, you know, obviously he's got a different way of doing it. But yeah, I think he's a very well-spoken guy. I think this is just a huge step for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the thing that everybody's looking at. How does he handle this step? This game against Salzburg.
It's perfect, isn't it? Well, it's what you want.
I suppose you want to get in, you just want to.
Well, you don't want to play Bayern or someone like that, do you? You like at least.
No, but it's still a Champions League game, and so well. Look, if they get beat 2-0, and I'm not suggesting they will, if they get beat or they have a bad result or bad performance, he's a couple of days at most in the training ground.
Right.
So if he's even had that. So yeah, it's a free hit for him, albeit it's not a free hit for ownership,
right,
who cannot afford not to go through in this group. Now that's a long way off, and I don't expect that to happen. But yeah, I think it's just good for him to get a game out of the way. Then we have this international break, so he's going to lose a bunch of players. But at least it gives him time to take a breath.
What's he going to do with Christian Pulisic?
Why are you laughing?
Because I love the outcry from everyone when people don't select Pulisic.
Yeah. It's great news! A new beginning!
Yeah.
Marvellous! This is, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Who knows? Ask Lucien Favre, ask Frank Lampard, ask Thomas Tuchel.
Right.
I don't know. What Graham Potter's going to do, out with the psyche of some American soccer fans and their understanding of what they think happens, he's going to pick his best team. This team that he thinks, whenever they play, is going to save his job and make him look good. He's not going to leave people on the bench just because that'll upset some people across the pond. And I'm going to play these, but we might not get the result. So, listen, it's up to the players. I think he seems the type of guy, like most managers, when you come in, it's a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you had the biggest argument with the previous manager, you don't get on with the board, you're in contract negotiations, whatever it is, new manager comes in, he sits everybody down and says, listen, I don't care what goes on, but you show me what you've got, and if I like that, and you produce for me, every manager wants to know what you can do for me.
Sure.
How can you make me look good? How can you make me look like the best manager so that we have the most success as a team and everybody gets on? And so Christian Pulisic is no different to any other player, whether it's Thiago Silva, who's 38 and been there, or whether it's a young guy.
Is that 38?
No, that's the been at the top of the game.
Oh, you said he's 38. I could be 38 and I'm not that tall.
Anyway, you know the gist. It's down to the players.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow.
Do you think Max Bretos is...
Oh, good on Max.
Do you think I've convinced him?
Oh, I can't wait for the starting 11. The outcry.
Max, it's not ahead.
The outcry. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Craig with me here in the studio. John Hutchinson with us. Stevie Nicol as well. Stevie, what's the frame next to you? That's new. To your right hand side, behind the trophy. What's that a picture of? Yep.
That.
Right.
Yep. What's in the frame there? No, to the left. It's like a
that
painting.
That is the dinner we had after the Champions League final in 1983-84.
Wow, there you go. Very nice. Look at Don having a look there. Okay, a lot of questions about this.
Look there.
Todd Bowley is floating an idea of an all-star weekend, like NBA and MLB in the Premier League. Does the crew think it is something that can happen in the Premier League? And will it be an all-star team or all-star players? So he said basically...
I know what he said. Have you two seen this today?
No.
How stupid is that?
So, yeah. So they're a new American owner and ownership.
We can't get the games in. Never mind adding another one.
Right. Exactly. I mean...
What is it? What's the format, Craig? What is it?
So it'll be North versus South.
North versus South. I mean, as you well know, Dan and Stevie, the players are the players are really going to be up for that.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, I've just seen Henry Winder tweeting about it as well. I mean, read the room.
Yeah.
There's... And I know he might be talking about down the line, but... I'm not being funny. I don't like the All-Star game, any of the All-Star stuff here.
Right.
In my personal opinion, I think it sucks.
Right.
Right, I don't care. Right. England doesn't need any drummed up American plastic rivalries. It's not happening. Right. So Todd Bowley and his cronies need to get in there and manage their new business properly. Because here's the deal, right? And I know they're all businessmen, but they've got a job in their hands tracking down Liverpool and Man City, never mind United, Arsenal, Tottenham and the rest. So he's in the door, he's not been in the door 5 minutes and we're talking about these American, you know, events that happen over here. That might be fine here, right, for some people.
So he cited that it made $200 million MLB weekend.
You may have noticed, right, the Premier League, right, whether you like it or not.
Oh, there's a shock, so they're trying to make money.
The Premier League is the most gross league in the world. Right. It makes the most money, it's watched by the most people, its rights go for the most in almost every country, if not every country. It doesn't need the money.
But you're saying it would help lower league sides?
Well, they could filter that money down from other avenues.
Right.
The players don't want guff like this. The fans, I'm sure, have no interest in doing anything but supporting their own team. So maybe that's just his mentality. But I'm sorry, we don't... I'm sure people in England don't... have absolutely no interest in guff like this.
So, Don, MLS has all-star teams as well, all-star weekends.
Yeah.
And one time Stevie Nicol was the coach of MLS all-stars and they took on Real Madrid at the Santiago Bernabeu. Can you guess the result?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be a 7, surely.
No! What was the result, Stevie?
What was it?
Was it 5 or 6?
I think it was 5, wasn't it?
Should have been a lot. Should have been a lot more than 7 as well.
So, as a man who has featured all stars, Stevie, do you like this idea?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. The culture in America is the all-star game, and so Americans love it, and that's fine. So, if you're in a place or a country or wherever it may be, and everybody loves it, including the players, then that's fine. But don't be going to a completely different culture and try to turn that into something that it's never going to happen. That's the point. You know, it's not a culture in England, certainly, no question. So leave it alone.
Right, Kevin and Mo. Right, we've got a big game this week. Right, we're going to travel down. No, well, I tell you what, we'll have it in Coventry.
Right.
Coventry.
Yep.
You know, very salubrious.
Lovely.
Place.
Neutral.
Neutral. We'll have it there, and you come down, and amongst all these games, magic. We'll find a couple of days in the calendar.
Yes.
In fact, we'll put it a couple of days before the Champions League semi-final. How's that?
Perfect.
Yeah,
put
perfect.
That in there. Right.
You up for it?
Okay.
You up for it?
So I'm hearing a little bit of negativity about that.
You may have noticed I'm not an all-star.
No, I'm hearing that most definitely. Meanwhile, we didn't get to talk about this in the show, but we've had quite a few questions regarding that Barcelona penalty appeal that happened just before the break. Why didn't VAR check the penalty on Dembele? That looks like a clear penalty.
VAR did check the penalty.
Well, yes, the VAR did check and obviously decided.
It then deemed it wasn't worthy of review or a look at the monitor. I think you and I are certainly in the same opinion that there was enough of a challenge in there on Dembele. It was Davies.
Yeah.
I think it was
Alfonso Davies.
That it was reckless, a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for, clumsy.
Yeah.
And I think could have been a penalty, yeah.
Once we saw the replay, Don, I think we were surprised that at least the referee wasn't sensing the monitor.
Yeah, it's one of them. I think it splits opinions, Dan. I think it's one of them where you see it in real time. I was on comms for the game and I was like, oh, that could be looked at. And then you see it again. Then you trust VAR. The referee didn't give a penalty. So then you ask, is it clear and obvious? And I've seen it 2 or 3 times after. And I was in the camp of, nah, it was a coming together. There wasn't too much in it. Play on.
Stevie, will you be able to survive the season watching Liverpool? It seems like it's going to be a roller coaster ride.
I tell you what, it's hard work. I mean, saw Klopp after the game, looking at the cop with a hand on his heart, like blowing as if, whew, that was close. No, I guess in the end, 2-1, it is quite close, but it shouldn't have been. Listen, if it's tough for Jurgen Klopp to watch, then it's going to be tough for me.
Well, it's hard work for him sitting at home watching it, stuffing his face with a cake, drinking tea.
Yeah, what was
it? It's really hard.
Excuse me, I didn't have a cake.
That accompanied the game, Stevie.
Excuse me. Get it right.
What?
Can of Coke. I had a bowl of cheese and onion crisps with barbecue hula hoops and dairy milk chocolate.
So get it right.
Wow, what a mix that is, Stevie.
Wow. Yeah.
Goodness.
You had
two Hershey's when we were watching it.
With almonds.
With almonds. What, does that make it healthier?
I'll tell you what, I nearly bit one of my fingers off when Danny Blind missed that header.
Yeah, it was just wine, wasn't it? They had big fingers as well.
They would have filled you up with fingers.
Sorry, Daily Blind.
Fish fingers? I never know how fish had fingers. I had that lovely egg sandwich from the Citgo gas station.
Oh, lovely.
Marvellous, wasn't it? Yeah. You looked at that egg sandwich when I brought it in and you went...
Yeah, it did not look good.
But, you know.
That and your Hershey's.
Two Hershey's.
Yep.
And some juice.
And a Mountain Dew. It wasn't juice.
You look a kid again.
Stevie, do you think Liverpool would have a more potent attack if they would have kept Sadio Mane and played him through the middle and not wasted their time signing Darwin Nunez?
Well, listen. Sadio Mane is the finished article. And Darwin Nunez is not. So, I mean, there's your answer. But you know what? There was one time when Sadio Mane wasn't the finished article either, so listen, give the kids some time.
What do you think, Don?
Well, they only cost 100 million, to be fair.
It's that question.
Well, Cookie Rella was 65, so I think we didn't do bad on Darwin Nunez.
Why did you just interrupt Don? He was talking, Steve.
That was a bit rude, Steve. It was a bit rude, weren't you there?
Well, I can't hear. You remember, I'm like a couple of seconds or something behind you lot, so...
He's normally a couple of seconds behind him. So that's
the
couple of seconds
delay,
that's five.
Yeah, exactly, that makes a lot of
five. Don.
I think a sat question like the Man City question was, when Man City lose, are they needed striker? When they win 9-0, it's like, yeah, they don't. But Sadio Mane didn't play well tonight. He got Nagelsmann took him off. He didn't have a good game up against the back line for Barca that are not amazing. So it's one of them. It's one of them, Dan. You're going to miss him because he's a brilliant player and he's been there. Or he was at Liverpool, what, 6 or 7 seasons? So he knew the game. He knew the players. He knew their strengths. He had a relationship down that left-hand side with Andy Robertson. He knew the midfield. He knew everything that was going on. So it's going to take Darwin Nunez a little bit of time. So. Listen, Klopp's got enough there. He's got Jota, he's got Salah, he's got Firmino, he's got Diaz. He's got enough quality to work with. He's just got to find, I think, his preferred partnerships.
There's no point keeping to have this Sadio Mane conversation, is it? Unless you're trying to wind Stevie up.
I didn't choose the question.
It's not your question.
Yeah, it's the righteous anger of Craig Burley.
But... harsh that, isn't it? There's no point having the conversation because he's not there. And he wanted to go.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like Liverpool biffed him off. He wanted to go.
Craig, what do you think about Xavi now? His tactics were average. He made absurd substitutions like bringing Ferran instead of Fati on the left. I didn't write this. Do you think he's good enough to coach Barca and make them 50% of the old Barca?
I think the answer is, at the moment, he is good enough to coach them because everything's still got to be determined. I mean, where are we? Mid-September.
Yep.
Two Champions League games. That was the biggest test. Played well, didn't get the result. That's what it's all about. Yeah, his substitution, certainly the Torres and not Ansu Fati was a bit strange. But as a general rule of thumb, his team played well, but they didn't defend particularly well in the beginning of the second half. So I don't think the time is to start talking about... If Barcelona don't make it out of the group, and if Barcelona don't come close in the title race with what they've spent and their squad, then there's going to be questions. But no, it's a bit early.
Don, should Frankie de Jong start ahead of Gavi?
I thought Gavi and Pedri were sensational tonight for 45. I like Frankie de Jong. I think he's a brilliant player. Yeah, it's hard, Dan. I think Frankie de Jong's best position is probably where Sergio Busquets plays, and he's not going to displace him, not for a good few years. So it depends on where Xavi sees him. I think in pre-season, in one or two La Liga games, he's played him certainly as a centre-back, which is not his best position. I understand that he's very good on the ball. It's hard. It's very hard to choose which one you'd go with between De Jong, Gavi and Pedri, because three brilliant young players.
But you know who I think would give them a little bit something different? And I know Don, being an aficionado of Italian football, is Frank Casey.
Yeah, came on in the second half.
Because Casey, he does a little bit of everything. Yeah, he might not have the subtleties of those other players in his passing range, not that it's bad, but he's got a real physical presence about him as well, and he gets a decent quota of goals. I just think he gives something different to all of those players, including Frankie de Jong. And yet at the moment, Xavi sees him as somebody who is coming off the bench. Maybe that'll change, I don't know.
Final question, start, bench or sell? Stevie, Musiala, Pedri, Bellingham.
Start, bench and sell. Well, you sell Bellingham, because that's what they're going to do.
No, so that's a cop-out.
You either bench. No, it's not.
No, of course that's a cop-out.
It's a calculated move is what it is.
No, it's not.
The question means, who would you... What would your choice be?
Musiala, Pedri. Right, you start Pedri. I think you got to start Pedri.
Okay.
So then it becomes Bellingham or Musiala. Sell Musiala. Because Musiala doesn't play as much as Bellingham, certainly, and if you're starting Pedri.
You
sell Musiala then.
How's that? He's playing every week.
Do you want me to change it again? Are you not happy with that?
No, I mean,
he's getting angry. Don't start him.
Musiala plays. He doesn't play.
I'll switch it up if you want. To the answer you like. In fact, why don't we just send me the answers and I can just go like that?
Stevie, what's wrong?
He's angry. He's angry. Get that man more chocolate.
No, but you said Musiala doesn't play and that's incorrect.
He was man of the match tonight.
Not as much as the other two.
Don?
The other two start. The other two always start. Musiala doesn't.
I'm starter. I'm starting Musiala all day long.
Has Don got a stutter?
I'm starting him all day long. Musiala starting all day long.
Really?
I'm benching Bellingham and selling Pedri.
Musiala, wow, you really don't even start him.
He's a
Wow. The Spanish contingent are going to be after you.
Don, you've made Stevie really angry.
I work with one or two lads at the Premier League, and I work a lot with Owen Hargreaves. And he knows buying inside out, and he tells me, and my eyes see, and I agree with Owen, this kid is a genius.
But is Pedri not more of a genius?
No, but not in, wow. I mean, what a question it is. I mean, it's an impossible question, but I would say start Musiala, bench Bellingham, drop Pedri.
Wow. There we go. On that bombshell, that brings us to the end of today's show. Just a reminder, we'll be back tomorrow to reflect on those Champions League ties. Who's playing? It's Real Madrid, isn't it? Real Madrid against Leipzig tomorrow. City against Dortmund. Chelsea, first game under...
Salzburg?
Yeah.
Help me out.
OK.
All right, thanks. Yeah. Thank me later.
Thank you later, Kurt. I'll get you a Hershey bar with almonds. Thank you very much, Stevie. Go and have a lie down.